From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues part two of a two-part message entitled, You Take the High Road and I'll Take the Low Road. The text is Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 18, the account of Abraham and his nephew Lot separating because of the abundance of their flocks, something which caused strife among their herdsmen. In the first message of this series, Dr. Cairns focused on Lot and the downward path that took him from Bethel to Sodom, resulting in the devastation of his family. Abraham, on the other hand, was more concerned to maintain a good testimony before the heathen of the land. Rather than insisting upon his rights as the older man, he determined to live in separation from the practices and influence of the heathen Canaanites. The lesson here is that those who have the greatest spiritual impact on the ungodly are those who are least like them. Before the message, we invite your attention to some devotional thoughts from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Always Hears. The text is found in Micah chapter 7 and verse 7, My God will hear me. Friends may be unfaithful, but the Lord will not turn away from the gracious soul. On the contrary, He will hear all its desires. The prophet says, Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Oh, this is a wretched state of affairs. But even in such a case, the best friend remains true, and we may tell him all our grief. Our wisdom is to look unto the Lord, and not to quarrel with men or women. If our loving appeals are disregarded by our relatives, let us wait upon the God of our salvation, for He will hear us. He will hear us all the more, because of the unkindness and oppression of others. And we shall soon have reason to cry, Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy! Because God is the living God, He can hear. Because He is a loving God, He will hear. Because He is our covenant God, He has bound Himself to hear us. If we can each one speak of Him as my God, we may with absolute certainty say, My God will hear me. Come then, O bleeding heart, and let thy sorrows tell themselves out to the Lord thy God. I will bow the knee in secret, and inwardly whisper, My God will hear me.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We are pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the prophet Daniel. There are 5 articles written by various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church dealing with such subjects as glorifying God in an ungodly world, Daniel, a man of prayer, and the prophet's visions. Also, this issue commences a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of Dr. Ian Paisley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues. The LTBS website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. Some of the subjects to be dealt with this month include, did God create evil? Does the Bible prohibit the title, Reverend? What is the unpardonable sin? And does Hebrews teach that Christians can lose their salvation? These video clips are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
But if you were to go from American society tonight into the most primitive part of Africa, you know something? You're going to find that underneath the external veneer, men and women are facing the very same fundamental decisions for life and death and time and eternity. And that means that how Abraham lived his life and how he took the king's high road through life tells us the very way that we have got to live. We make a great mistake when we fall into the reasoning of the liberal and the modernist and the various forms of radical Bible criticism, when we make our surroundings, the environment, the culture in which we live. I'm sick, sore, and tired hearing evangelicals talk about the culture in which we live, as if that were the determining force in how we live. Now we must relate to the society around us. We must relate to the people to whom we have got to bear witness. But I want to tell you, how we live in the 20th and 21st centuries is not dictated by the culture of the society in which we live. It's dictated by the timeless truths of this book of God. And how Abraham lived is exactly how we have got to live. Look at him at the altar, facing life with its decisions. How did he come to his conclusions? How did he make his decisions? I think there were some questions in his mind. How does this accord with my faith? How does this accord with the message of this altar at which I am worshiping? How does this affect my fellowship with God? Those are the fundamental questions that every professing Christian needs to be asking and by which he needs to be making his decisions. How does this decision accord with my faith in Jesus Christ? I say I'm a Christian. I say I have believed in Him to the saving of my soul. Well, if I take this line of action, if I speak these words or say or do those things, how does that agree with my professed faith in Jesus Christ? Does it contradict it? Now we're getting to where we tramp on some toes. Because there are so many people, and don't believe that they're all in somebody else's church, for they're not. Don't believe they're keeping pews warm in the church next door. We do the very same, sadly, all too frequently. Where there is the lip service to the gospel. There is the statement, I believe in Jesus Christ and the saving of my soul. But so often what we do is an absolute contradiction to what we believe. Is it any wonder that so many unsaved people are hard to reach? Is it any wonder that so many people who are saved have their mouths fast shut when it comes to witnessing to the unsaved? They daren't open their mouths because their lives have already preached a much more strident sermon than their words could ever speak. How does this accord with my faith in Christ? I say I believe the gospel. Well, how does my life reflect the truth of the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is the message of the unspeakably great love of God in Jesus Christ. How does my life reflect the message of God's love in Christ? How does my life reflect the message of God's saving grace in Christ? I tell you, my friend, if the way we live contradicts the gospel, then the way we live is wrong. If the decisions we're taking are taken in defiance of the testimony of the gospel, then our decisions are wrong. Of course, the other question is very simple but very fundamental. And it's this. How does this affect my fellowship with the Lord? You'll hear Christians. Well, let's not generalize it. If you want to find the biggest culprit in this, just Have a good look in the mirror when you go home. Point your finger and identify him. Because you have done it. I have done it. Would to God we could say we had never done it. But we can come up with, as Lot did, with so many simple, subtle rationalizations for what we do when we know it's not right. But we can rationalize it. Then we go in to pray. We can't pray. We read the Bible. But it may as well still be untranslated from the original Hebrew and Greek, because it means nothing to us. What's happened? There is something has come in between us and our God. We have Christians, and they are constantly saying and doing things and going places and getting involved in matters that are putting between them and the Lord. It may, as we pointed out in looking at Lot, it may seem to offer them some financial betterment. It may seem to offer them a leg up on the ladder of life. But it breaks their fellowship with God. My friend, I tell you this. When you get to the altar, you turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that bleeding sacrifice. You understand that your standing with God was purchased with that blood and is maintained by virtue of that blood. When you understand that fellowship with God has come at the greatest sacrifice and cost that eternal deity could ever pay. You stand at that cross and realize these things. Then at the altar, your whole view of life will be changed. The whole basis for making decisions will be rooted in Christ crucified. Promise marked him as a believer. The altar marked him as a pilgrim. Or should I say as a worshipper in the tent marked him as a pilgrim. When the Lord gave Abraham a promise, he didn't simply say, "Now, Abraham, there's the promise. Sit back, put your feet up, and I'll bring it all to your door." No, no. He says, "It's yours, Abraham, but now," verse 17, "get up, walk through this land in the length of it and in the breadth of it. I'm going to give it to you." But that walk is the walk of the pilgrim through the land. And I want you to notice something. It's a walk of faith. And it's a walk of separation. As Abraham walked through the land, remember now his age. He's an old man. He's living in a tent. He lifts, strikes camp, picks up the tent. On he goes. Pitches the tent again. Dwells there. Picks it up and goes on. We find Lot living in the city of Sodom. He had a house. He had settled down. But for Abraham, there was no settling down among the ungodly. There was just a tent where he moved through the heathen territory. No settling down and no indolence in claiming the promise of God. Now, I know Abraham was not a superman. He was a great man, but he was not a superman. And I know that he must have been tempted many a time just to wonder, can I not get beyond a tent? Can I not have four walls and a place to call my own? Even I think sometimes the thought must have come as he looked at this land and the hardship of constantly being on the move. Would I not have been able to serve God just as well back in Ur of the Chaldees? According to Paul, he certainly had opportunity to think that way, and he had opportunity to go and do it. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 15, truly if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Why did he not go back? Because, says Paul, they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. In other words, Abraham lived in a tent, recognizing, this is not my home. My home is on before. The city I'm going to is the city of God's construction. And I have a mansion in the glory land. In the meantime, I'm just a pilgrim bound for glory. Now, there's the heart of a real pilgrim. He's in the world, but he's not of it. Surrounded by heathenism, Perizzites and Canaanites, with their heathen practices, their immoral worship and manner of life, it was all there. But though he was surrounded by it, he was not of it. Then you have him living in this world, but his focus is on the next world. And as he did these things, there's a beautiful picture of Abraham living in the enjoyment of the blessing of God. Here's the thing. Lot had riches, but he didn't have the blessing of God. Lot had a house, not a tent, but he didn't have the blessing of God. He gained a lot that Sodom could give him, but he lost everything that a father or a man of integrity would want to hold on to. His daughters were burned in Sodom. His wife became a pillar of salt. And his other two daughters became worse than prostitutes. Quite a record. Quite a record. He did not have the blessing of God. Abraham was living in the blessing of God. And, as we see as we proceed with the story, he was spreading that blessing to others. You find he had an influence on some of the local tribal chiefs around about him, and they certainly were brought to respect his testimony. We find him bringing his blessing with him as he rescues Lot after he's taken captive by marauding forces. We find him again spreading the blessing as he can intercede for those who couldn't pray for themselves. Here's the picture of a man who is living in the blessing, and he's spreading the blessing wherever he goes. But I want you to notice this. He does it from outside the camp. Those who are the greatest blessing to the people of this world are not people who live like the world. The thought of so many compromisers is, if we're going to really be a blessing to the people of this day and age, we've got to be as like them as possible. That's the biggest lie that the devil can sell to the people of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.